This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
Welcome, step right up to the PTV and e-ticket attraction and enjoy the ride through the theme parks around the world with your host, Jason Sherman. Now, sit back, make sure your restraint is fastened, items stowed away, and keep your arms and legs inside the podcast at all times.
PTBN Nation, welcome to the second episode of the PTBN e-ticket attraction. I am your host, Jason Sherman, and joining me today, first, he is the host of half of the podcast on the Pop Feed, at least half. The Great Debate, Looking Forward, Looking Back, Year in Pop, PTBN Goes to the Movies, Laugh in Theater, Mr. Andy Aspin. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, Jason, how are you? I don't know how long I'm going to last because I got some blue milk that ain't sitting right. So if you hear any noise, I'll try to mute Skype as I can, but if you hear any noises, I apologize up front.
Sounds good.
Not really.
Also joining us, writer of Vehicles Mix of Six on PlaceToBeNation.com, and you can always find him over at TouringPlans.com, fellow Patriots fan and all-around good guy, Mr. Neil Trama.
Hey, guys. I've been working on a 12-pack of Natty Light today. Geez, so I may be having the same problem as Andy, but you know, I guess.
I'll cheers you with my Miller Lite that I'm consuming at the moment.
There we go.
Also joining us, for the first time I've ever spoke to him, after listening to him for like 5-6 years easy, he is the co-host of Wrestling Warzone and also the archive where the big boys play, Mr. the illustrious Chad Campbell.
Hey guys, I am on daddy daycare this weekend, so I need some of Neil's 12-pack.
I've been there, Chad, trust me.
I'm sure Neil will share his natty light.
I don't think it's going to help much. I think you need something stronger.
Yeah, you have a lot of natty light. It's like, who's going to throw up on who, the kid or you?
Oh, man.
Which has happened, trust me. I have two kids.
So today, we will be discussing what many consider the best park of Walt Disney World has to offer, Epcot. We're going to be doing a deep dive on the rides, the history, the future, all Epcot has to offer. And also, me and Neil recently visited, and we're going to do a little mini-review on the Flower and Garden Festival. It's certainly personally my favorite park, and with all the different festivals that they have, and of course the different varieties of food and drinks you can eat, it's more of an adult park than all the others. So what are some of you guys' personal memories? How about you, Andy? What's your personal memories of Epcot?
Well, let's see. I don't go as often as you guys, but I remember my first visit was 86. And I remember going, I just graduated 8th grade, so I was, 13, almost 14 at the time? And I remember going, and we went inside Spaceship Earth, the globe, and downstairs they had, literally, it's like doing, like, FaceTime to like book your lunch reservations or dinner reservations, and I remember doing that. And then I was back again. I think 2006. I think it was a while between my trips to. I think I went 2001, but 2006 was great because my daughter was almost four. My son wasn't born yet, but I remember going to Akershus for the princess luncheon, which was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and also when you have a little one. As you know, some of the other members here could probably attest to, or going to attest to, the KidCot Fun Stops have always been a lot of fun. Even on my last trip, you know, my daughter is now 17. She was 16 back in August, and my son was 11. You know, they still, they wanted to go to KidCots. We got the passport. You know, she, it was the same as when she was four. You know, she went there. They did the whole thing. She had the same smile on her face. So that's, you know, what I love about Epcot. You know, those are my favorite memories.
How about you, Neil?
Oh, man, Epcot is my absolute favorite park, bar none. Like, it's not even close. Ever since I was a little kid going there, I just thought it was the coolest thing because, you know, Magic Kingdom's great, but, like, there's carousels, there's roller coasters at any park you go to, but there's nowhere that, like, you're riding in this Omnimover vehicle through history. And I was always a dorky kid, so I like science and history stuff. So I just ate that Epcot stuff up, the huge pavilions. And now, being older and going as an adult, I discovered that people get really drunk at Epcot every night. So that's right up my alley, too. But Epcot is absolutely, like, that's my number one. So I'm looking forward to this little dive into it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Epcot myself. It's probably my favorite of the four. I went when I was probably 4 years old. I actually just found a bunch of pictures of me and my mother in front of the Japan Pavilion. But, you know, being that young, you really don't remember much of it. And I didn't go back again until 2011. But, I mean, it has my favorite ride of all the parks currently. And, it, you know, of course, drinking is always a fun time at Epcot. How about you, Chad?
Epcot's kind of a weird part for me, to be honest, because the most times I went to Disney was either when I was a little kid, up to about probably age 8 or 10, or now when I have a 4 and a 2-year-old the past couple of years. So for us, Epcot, while I've enjoyed parts of it, I haven't really been able, I think, to experience it as an in 2000, and I enjoyed Epcot then. We went 2 days during the Flower and Garden Festival then. But overall, I definitely feel more nostalgia for Magic Kingdom and even MGM, because when I was a kid was really when MGM was ramping up. So the studios kind of have, I think, the soft place in my heart that Epcot holds for a lot of people.
That makes a lot of sense. Like when I was a kid, it was only the two, so we only did Magic Kingdom and Epcot. I didn't go to Hollywood Studios myself until, yeah, like 2011, 2012, when I first started going to the parks. Neil, give me your top three rides at Epcot.
Well, that gets tougher because there's not that many rides at Epcot.
That is true. But there are two more coming. Two more coming.
They are indeed. Spaceship Earth, because it's that old school Epcot that I grew up loving. I liked the old version with Jeremy Irons better than the current Judi Dench, but
not the Walter Cronkite. Did you ever go on the Walter Cronkite version?
Yeah, I think I might have done the Walter Cronkite version once or maybe twice.
Okay,
but it's the Jeremy Irons version that I always think of, and then Soarin', I mean, it's hard to beat Soarin'. That's an exceptional ride. Although, once again, I will say that I preferred the California version to the Soarin' Around the World version.
I agree, and 110%.
I'll throw a curveball in there for my last one and say Impressions de France, which is actually a really enjoyable movie, which is going away soon. And I'm usually drunk when I watch it, so, you know, maybe that makes me like it more.
That's very possible. Chad, what about you?
Certainly not Impressions de France, I'll say that. I will agree with Spaceship Earth. I that's just such a classic ride. I think the premise of it, that you have this huge landmark with the golf ball structure, and, you know, with Cinderella's Castle and Magic Kingdom, you can kind of walk through it. And, of course, like, the great movie ride was in the Chinese Theater, but I don't think either of those had kind of the gravitas of the fact that, oh, we're actually going into the golf ball, and it's this really cool ride that I think resonates with all ages. I know my 4-year-old enjoyed it when we went this past Christmas, and especially I enjoyed the reveal at the Apex where you turn your Omnimover turns around and you get the view of the world and that big screen.
Yeah,
I think
it's awesome.
Just breathtaking. So Spaceship Earth for sure. I'm gonna go Test Track I think. I think Test Track is really exciting. I especially like when you break into the outside part and open up. It's just a really fun ride that also utilizes some of the kind of Epcot science technology theming that they're going for. And I'm also going to throw a little curveball for my third ride. This would have been Soarin', and Soarin' probably would have been a top 10 ride in all of Walt Disney World up to my last trip. And I must say, I know this is something that's talked about a lot, but me and my son were on the far left side of Soarin', and with the new projection of the video, everything was, you know, crooked and slanted, and it really did sort of take me out of it. So instead of Soarin' getting the third billing, I'm going to go actually with Living with the Land, which I think
is a great choice.
I think it's just a awesome kind of relaxing ride. My two-year-old was too small to do Soarin', so while Caden did Soarin' with my wife, doing the rider swap, I took Carson on Living with the Land. He enjoyed it. He got to ride the boat. And we just had kind of a pleasant little 20-minute boat ride that you can always kind of fit in. And it pads out your day, but at the end of it, it's like, hey, that was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I think Living with the Land is extremely underrated person. About you, Andy? What are your three?
I'm since there's not a lot, we're going to cross list. I'm going to go Soarin'. I did that. I think we did that like three or four times the last time we were there, because we did, a day and a half at Epcot when we went, and that was a lot of fun. I have my two aunts who were on the trip with. One has bad knees, so she had one of those scooter things. My other aunt has bad legs and is mentally handicapped. So Soarin' was like probably like the best ride, like for my one aunt. My other aunt was a little, she's like, uh-huh. she was terrified, but my aunt who's like, she's like a 6-year old maybe in her mentality. She had her feet up. She was like loving it. She was having a great old time. I do miss the California one just because of the smells, because of the orange and the pine and all that stuff. When we were talking about memories before, it popped in my head. I had probably one of the longest walks ever to do a fast pass back in 2006. I was there with my then wife and my daughter was 4, and I got my fast pass, and it was going to be a while. So we just kept going, and take a guess where we were when I had to turn around and go to Soarin' to redeem my fast pass.
In America.
I was in we were in the Italy Pavilion. So I walked all the way from Italy to Soarin', rode the right way all the way back to meet up with them. So, I had to get on. I had never been on a ride before, so I had to get on it. I'm going to go Test Track also. That's probably, is it still the fastest ride down in Florida on Disney property, or has it been passed yet? I don't know.
Is it faster than Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah, I think when you get on the outside, I think it is.
Huh?
And then and Spaceship Earth, how could you not love that ride? Because you are inside the icon, and so much fun. Honorable mention to Mission Space. I actually kind of like it. I mean, I did the green. That's the intense one. I think we did the green, and we got off of it. My sister and my son were both like, my daughter and I were like, yeah. so if we go there again with them, we might have to do the orange, but so those are my three.
So yeah, I will just jump in with what Andy was saying about the person being able to ride Soarin'. I will say one good thing for Soarin' is my mom is an absolute scaredy cat to ride any intense rides. The Barnstormer is too much for her. Like, she won't even attempt that. So, but she will ride Soarin'. So I do think that is something that's kind of unique in that ride. I mean, if you're at the top row and you look down, you're up there.
Yeah.
But it gives the illusion that you're not moving very much. So that is impressive.
Plus, we were doing the...
convince her to ride Flight of Passage and tell her it's just like Soarin'.
Well, you know what? We did do, we went to to Animal Kingdom a couple days later, and I was telling my aunt that, you know, I heard it. I never been on it. I'm like, it's like Soarin', what was it? Soarin' meets Star Tours or something like that? Or some shit.
I would say Soarin' on steroids.
Yeah, so we get up there. We get up there. She saw what you had to sit on the ride. She's like, I'm out. And they waited for us.
Oh, man.
I know. Well, who knows? We're not going there next year. We're going to Universal, so it might be a little while before I try to convince her again.
So for my three, my number one ride at the moment in all of the parks is Test Track. I absolutely love Test Track. I haven't done it in a while because I usually just do single rider because I'm on it in and out there in 10 minutes. But the wait's been like 30 to 40 minutes for single rider now. So I haven't really tried to do it because I've done it like a billion times. I don't need to. But I did say a story about last time, a celebrity encounter I almost had, and it was on Test Track. So I was the first car waiting to go to the unload zone. So I'm watching all the people get loaded in front of me. And the car directly in front of me, like all the other cars were loaded, but the car directly in front of me was empty. And we're sitting there, it's been minutes at this point, we're like, what's going on? And then out from the other side, there's two kids that come, sit in the front, and then a woman comes, sits in the back, and then a guy comes, and I'm looking at this guy, and I look to the people with me, because you know, I do single rider, I was with a British family. I look at them, I'm like, holy fuck, is that Paul McCartney?
It was Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney was in the car right in front of me. And yeah, it was Paul. I looked up on Twitter, and people were like, I just did Soarin with Paul McCartney. I'm like, holy shit, it really was Paul McCartney.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little crazy. Number two is obviously going to be Soarin'. I do miss the old movie. I miss the smells. I miss seeing that one skier wipe out. That was always a fun thing to do. The first time I did Soarin', because I am also somewhat afraid of heights. Like when we're going up, I'm like, oh shit, I don't like this, I don't like this. And then like, you know, they stimulate you moving fast. I look to my ex, I'm like, oh, I don't, we're moving too fast, I don't like this. But you know, the second, third, fourth time, it became a breeze for me. And then of course you have to say Spaceship Earth, because I mean, who's gonna say Finding Nemo?
No. Huh.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people who like Nemo a little bit, but it's whatever. So, how about...
Yeah, I mean, come on. I said Impressions de France, so somebody's going to say Finding Nemo.
Well, you can say O Canada, at least.
So, Andy, what's your worst Epcot ride, in your opinion?
Well, actually, it's on somebody's best list, and I'm only saying it because it's good for a lot of things. It's good. It gets you out of heat. It's relaxing. Anybody can ride it. It's great. But I don't know. It was... When I went on it back in 2006, you know, we had a guide, a narrator, a whole time. Now that there's no narrator, you're just riding through. And, you know, it's okay. You know, I don't know. It was kind of like just by default, I guess, that I put it as my worst ride. Because I really don't think there's anything really bad in Epcot. I mean, I actually do like Grand Fiesta Tour. You know, I have a soft spot for the Three Caballeros. I mean, Frozen Ever After is fine. I didn't hate Maelstrom. You know, and it's just, you know, boat ride is a boat ride. It's kind of indifferent. That Maelstrom, whatever. Soarin' Ever After, well, Frozen, whatever the fuck it's called. I'm like getting all my rides. I'm trying. But yeah, since there's a lack of rides, so it's like, you know, sometimes you might have to cross lists.
Yeah. All right. So, what about you, Chad? What do you think is the worst ride that I've got?
I'm actually going with an extinct ride too, and I am going with on this one. I'm going with Ellen's Energy, Universal of Energy. I just for me, it was too long. Too drawn out. Once you saw the initial part with the screen, it felt like you were standing in that front room forever with Bill Nye. I did like once you got into the dinosaur part, but overall, I just kind of saw it as a big air conditioner break from the park, and I was not shedding too many tears when they said it was going away.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
Once we're going to be replacing, it's going to be awesome.
What about a?
Yeah, I mean, from what they're saying with the Guardians coaster, it's going to be incredible and utilizing a lot of new technology. So.
Oh yeah, it's going to be something else. It's supposed to be like the largest indoor coaster in the world, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the building was immense. I mean, that was just going up in August, so I can imagine what it looks like now.
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's gonna be quite intimidating to do, to say the least.
But
Neil, what do you think is the worst ride?
I'm gonna give it a tie between O Canada and the Wonders of China. Now I already put Japan on my best list, so it's not that I don't enjoy a nice travelogue film in the World Showcase, but who in their right mind decided that in one of the largest theme parks in the world, we're going to make people stand for an 18-minute movie is completely out of their minds. I hear them all the time because I don't want to just stand there. Put a seat in there and I'm good.
I never even bothered doing any of those. Are they worth doing?
Maybe once.
It sort of depends on what you're looking for, I guess. I mean, they would certainly be on the low end of the must-do list. But, I mean, I wouldn't say anything is just worth never doing. I think you should try everything once in your life. And if you hate it, don't ever go back.
I'd be afraid of it taking away from my drinking around the world time.
Well, I get you air conditioning for a little while.
Probably sneak a beer in there if you need to.
Probably. So as far as worst ride, I'm actually going to go with Mission to Mars?
Mission Mars. Mission Space.
Oh, Mission Space. Yeah. Mission,
yeah. Yeah, no. It used to be Mission to Mars, wasn't it, at one point?
Well, Mission to Mars was a Magic Kingdom attraction.
Yeah, that was what now is Stitch, that building, Stitch. Right?
Yeah, whatever. I don't like it. I did it. I tried both varieties. I got sick both times, so...
Wow.
I won't do it. Not a fan at all, personally. I know there's people that like it, but I never did. I tried it. I gave it the old college try, and it just wasn't for me. I felt super uncomfortable, super nauseous.
Well, yeah, if you're at all claustrophobic in the least, you're not.
No, it wasn't the claustrophobia.
Really?
Is the other
spinning?
Spinning? Yeah. I see. It does. That doesn't bother me for some reason. I'm afraid. I love roller coasters and everything, but like drop rides, like those scare the crap out of me. I'm like afraid of heights. I mean, my kids try to get me to go on Zumanjaro, which is inside Kingda Ka. I mean, you have to walk the entire length of the Kingda Ka track in New Jersey. I don't know. Neil probably knows what I'm talking about. You know, to get to this one tower drop that's like 300 feet. And it's friggin' terrifying.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I don't do those either, actually. So, they don't have as many as other parks, but does anyone have a favorite, like, non-ride attraction at Epcot? Maybe, like, a band or a movie or...
Oh, yeah, I'll chime in with one. One of my favorite things at all of Epcot is the piano player at the Rose and Crown Pub. He is hilarious and excellent, and if you've never seen her... You definitely need to go out of your way to do it. Rose and Crown Pub, while that lady is playing, is an absolute experience. It's just the best.
Is it the bar or the restaurant?
In the bar.
Oh.
I've been in that bar a billion times. I've never noticed. Restaurant.
Yeah, she's only there. She's an older lady. She's only there a couple days a week. And she plays maybe like a 40-minute set three or four times a day. But she is hilarious. She'll customize the songs based on, you know, what you tell her. Like, the last time we were there, we told her that my wife was expecting, so she sang this whole ridiculous song about how getting drunk results in having kids, and so on and so forth, and she is really fun. She's really fun to see.
That's cool. Does anyone else have any?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's closing or not, but Club Cool, I'm going to say.
It is closing.
Oh, yeah, it is closing. That's a good shout out, though.
Yeah, I mean... I think I probably mentioned this on the last show, like how much I loved, you know, filming my kids trying Beverly. My daughter's reaction was priceless. You know, she's like, she takes a sip and she's like, oh, it's not that bad. And then it hits her. She's like, God. My son's like coughing. He's like, I'm going to barf. But yeah, Club Cool was a lot of fun because you got to try, and you know, there were the good tasting episode of the Stew that was a lot of fun in there. So, yeah, I'm going to miss that.
Have you had a chance to check out the Coca-Cola experience that they have now at Disney Springs?
We did go in there, but they do have a tasting station too, right?
Yeah, it's sort of Club Cool to the next level. Only now, of course, they charge you to flights and pick which ones you want. And they do have Beverly. There's a major bar component to it. There's mixed drinks involving all the different flavors from around the world. Ooh. So on that hand, it's neat. But yeah, when you're taking away something free that people love to put in something that people have to pay for, I can't help but roll my eyes a little bit.
I'm not paying to prank somebody with Beverly. I'm sorry. I ain't paying for that. I mean, we did go there, but it was like more just because it was we're getting toward the end of our night at Disney Springs. So we were just really in there looking at souvenirs for the most part.
I'd like to throw some love to the band in the UK. I think they're pretty good. Watch them a couple times every other trip. And, you know, when you're trying to hustle around the world, when you're at that tail end over there, they're fun to sit down and watch for a little bit.
I mean,
I'll say the Summer House meet and greet is well done, too. I enjoyed the way it looked, and I mean, I don't know how many rooms that they got hidden back there, but it was a kind of quick way to go see Elsa and Anna, and had some theming too, so they did a good job building that up.
Cool. I met Anna and Elsa at Magic Kingdom once, but never did at Epcot.
Yeah, it was good. When we went in December, we did the Acrisure's Breakfast, and then rode Frozen Ever After, and then went right into the Summer House. So that was a like a jam-packed little tour of Norway, and I felt like we hit most of the highlights.
That was some expert planning there. But to get that breakfast, get in there ahead.
Yeah, that's genius stuff right there.
Yeah, so that worked out well.
I gotta say, I'm having a lot of fun listening to everybody attempt to pronounce the name of the restaurant that I will just refer to as the Norwegian buffet.
Akershus.
Man. Oh, that's.
I mean, I like the little the miniature. Is it a train? I can't remember. In Germany, the little miniature village.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
That's a cool thing to like sit and like look at it. You know, maybe chill with a beer or we got a pretzel. Although that was the size of my son's head. he thought the pretzel at the Magic Kingdom was better because it had salt on it.
Kids.
I know. I'll tell you.
On that note. We're going to talk about our favorite restaurants and places to eat at Epcot. Let's start with Chad. What's your favorite restaurant? Favorite sit-down, favorite, fast service?
Yeah, so most of these, I think, are going to be from the honeymoon trip. We went to Coral Reef, and I really enjoyed our meal there. I thought the aesthetic was cool. I mean, it is a little 90s, but, I had my Full House nostalgia with Danny Tanner and what was it, Joey in the Tank or whatever, waving. I'm pretty sure
Boy Meets World did something there too.
Yes, so I thought it was better than I expected. I will say that based on the reviews. The other one, and I don't think I'll ever eat there again because my wife absolutely hated it. But I loved the beer garden meal that we had. I thought the atmosphere in there was really cool. I do like German food, and I thought it was well done. I was able to just sort of gorge myself out there. I really enjoyed that, but like I said, Jennifer hated it, so I doubt we'll ever get back to that. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't really hit many of the big – like I've never been to Le Cellier or Rose and Crown or Chef de France, so some of the heavy hitters I haven't had a chance to go to. Quick service in Epcot's a little tricky for us. I think more times than not, we sort of end up in Sunshine Seasons just because we're kind of around that area. There seems to be a pretty good variety.
It's a huge variety.
We kind of just usually end up there for our quick service lunches.
True. What about you? What do you have, Neil? What are your best places to eat there?
Number one sit down is actually going to be via Napoli.
Yeah, the pack of Italy.
Yeah, that is definitely my wife's favorite place in Epcot and probably in all of Walt Disney World. And I will say that it is legitimately one of the best pizzas I've ever had. And, I mean, if you've seen me, I've had my share of pizzas in my life. And that is definitely near the top of the list. That includes places in New York City, anywhere, Chicago.
Don't you dare say New Haven, Criscolo.
You know what? Hey, it's up there. It's up there with Frank Pepe.
Okay.
That too.
It is very good.
It is very good pizza. It's a decent atmosphere. It's a good place. I will also give a quick shout-out to Garden Grill. I think that's a really good one for families going with kids that maybe don't want to try the more exotic cuisines. You have characters, you have pretty decent food, plus it revolves around living with the land. So that's a fun one,
yes,
too. And then what we were rating, counter service, huh?
Yeah.
I'll give that. I mean, the, what is it, Sunshine Seasons, that is a good one to pick. But I'll say, how about the one, I can't think of the name of it, in Mexico, the one that's right out on the water there. I just ate there on my most recent trip. I've been there a few other times. You have great views if you get there early enough to watch illuminations from there or whatever the new fireworks are going to be. And the food is pretty decent, so I'll give that my vote.
There you go. Andy?
Well, I don't know if I've ever had a quick service at Epcot. I've actually, well, I've gotten, like, snacks and drinks here and there, but I can say, let's see, I got to agree, Via Napoli was really good. What's the restaurant upstairs in France? I mean, it was 2001, so it was a long time ago. Whatever it was, I had dinner there.
Paul, but it wasn't then.
Yeah, whatever.
It's going to be different now than it was then anyway.
Yeah, whatever it was really good. That was with my ex-wife. That was our 1 year anniversary trip to Disney. We did a short trip. That was a really good meal, actually. I got to go, Rose and Crown. Really good. Had the Scotch egg. Oh, so good.
Oh, yes.
And I had a coworker of mine that went like a week or two before us, and he's a big time beer guy, and he kept posting like all of his beers and stuff, you know, on the Facebook, and he put up the and I'm not a big beer guy. I mean, I like only like two kinds of beer in my life, really. I just don't have the palate for it. I just love beer, just tastes bitter or whatever to me. But he put up a cider in black, and I was like, I can get down with that, and I did, and it was so good.
Hold on. Cider mixed with Guinness?
No, it's cider mixed with black currant juice.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, it's like a sweet thing, but it was really good. And then, you know, we had dinner. That was one night, and then the other night we actually had dinner at Le Cellier, and oh my
fancy.
God! I'm like, yeah. Well, I mean. You know, we went all out for this family trip. So my daughter discovered she liked escargot because she was eating mine out of the stuffing of mine. But, yeah, it was so – I mean, I've been hearing about it. I mean, I don't know. We all probably listen to podcasts. You know, I was listening to WDW Today with the old guys, and all I ever heard for years was the Scopa special. So I went there, got me the cherry cheese soup, unreal, and then I got the New York strip. Oh, my God, one of the best steaks I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then, you know, honorable mention to, like, you know, the Grand Marnier orange slush from France.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. But,
yes,
you know.
That's also fantastic.
Yeah, so that's
my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff,
normal
man.
Normal drink around the world, France drink.
Yes, I was watching other people drink around the world when I was there. I just only had a couple. But, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I'm actually going exactly with what Neil said. Via Napoli is probably the best pizza I've ever had, but I live in South Florida, so my options aren't the best. But yeah, I guess Neil, you agreeing with that, and your wife saying it's her favorite, I guess confirms it wasn't just the alcohol in me that really liked the pizza.
I mean, the alcohol helps.
Okay,
I'll just say that.
I mean, if they ship also, water in from the Northeast, then they got to be okay.
I also do enjoy Garden Grill quite a bit. I've been there like two or three times, and I've always had a good time eating there. As far as fast service goes, I always liked the Electric Umbrella, actually, because they used to have. They don't have it anymore. The sausage and pepper sandwich, that was really good. But since they don't have it anymore, I don't care about it. So, I mean, actually, there's really no other fast service. But oh, I guess the Seasons would probably be my pick for that. I'd like to throw a quick, not a pleasant shout out to the worst place I think in Epcot is the sit down restaurant in China. Three times I've tried it. Three times I've hated it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. You can get Chinese food anywhere, really.
Well, that's what I was about to say. That's kind of the problem I have. I haven't tried any of the China, Mexico, or even something like Tepanito because, I mean, I can get that locally. So I'm in Epcot and wanting to venture out, I kind of really want to venture out. Yeah.
I've heard the hibachi place at Epcot, it's not worth the money at all. So as much as I do love hibachi, I have not attempted to eat at the one at Epcot.
I mean, Epcot could be hard.
It seems like...
Go ahead.
It seems like the people that do really praise Tepanito, a lot of the times they talk about the uniqueness. So I know that has scared me off because... in my little southern town of Georgia, there's two hibachi places. So. I don't know.
I mean,
I will say, in defense of San Angel Inn, the Mexico one, there is at least a really unique atmosphere to eating.
Is that the one inside?
Yeah, that's the one inside.
Yeah, that's where it does look cool.
Yeah, the food is no better than any Mexican sit-down restaurant that you might have in your hometown. But the atmosphere is really good. And I have to throw one more counter service out there because somebody's listening to us right now screaming at us that nobody has said it, which is the cult favorite, Tangerine Cafe.
Yeah, I figured that was coming.
I mean, I don't love it. I'll eat anything. It's not that the food's too exotic for me. I mean, I think it's good. I think people love it because it's so different. And I like that there's some healthy options, but I know that is a major, major cult favorite. So we had to drop that in.
I was actually going to give a shout out to there because my son's a picky eater. It's like chicken nuggets. We were eating. That was the night. I think we were eating in Le Cellier or either that or it was Rose and Crown. So, and they're basically pavilions next to each other. I had to go hunt down chicken nuggets because nobody had it. And the closest I got. That was Tangerine Cafe all the way in Morocco. That was the closest one to either of those pavilions to get chicken nuggets. So shout out to them for having that on their menu.
Made your life a little easier for the minute, for a moment.
Yes, it did.
All right, so I think we're going to take a quick little break now.
Okay.
If that's okay with everyone.
Your show, man.
I'm gonna run and grab a beverage, and I will be right back, guys.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into the topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back. And of course, as usual, there is a lot going on the PTBN top feed with a little something for everyone. After a two-year hiatus, Dadcast is back with JC and Don talk a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more. Russell and Sam deliver their season one finale of 90s The Nothing with a look at Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. On Mr. Atherton's The Year in Pop, host Andy and Scott are joined by J. Arsenio D'Amato and Dr. G to discuss the news, music, and the movies of 1975.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
Pop goes to the movies with, again, Andy, review of the new live-action Aladdin.
Yeah, it was surprisingly good. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
I've heard really good things about it, actually.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Going to see that Tuesday, so it's important to
it. And I try, as much as I tried to put the 92 animated film out of my mind, it's still the music, and I just got caught up, because I was like, really, listen to the review, but I really go on from, that was when my adult love of Disney really started, was seeing Aladdin in 1992, so. Huh. I highly recommend it, though. It was my first time doing a solo show, so hopefully it didn't suck.
I'll be listening tomorrow, so I'll let you know.
Thanks.
Steve was an adult in 1992.
Well, I was 20. I'm 19, 20 years old, so.
That's
kind of an adult. I couldn't drink, okay?
six for vote. Me.
I could vote, yes, I could. I voted for Clinton and via absentee ballot, actually, in 1990.
I was 10 in 92.
Yeah.
The hard-traveling fanboys continue Avengers Month with an installment, Long Book Hunters, looking at the new Avengers Volume 1 breakout. And I think since then, they've released the massive MCU haul with a bunch of guests. Tim, Jennifer, Russell.
The manager, Todd Weber.
Really good. Listen, the manager, Todd. It was a long episode, but it was well worth listening to. You guys haven't checked it out yet.
I'm about an hour or so in.
Yeah, you got another, what, 3 hours?
Yeah, well, I literally only listen to podcasts in the car, so I'll crank out another hour or so tomorrow on my way to work.
Gotcha. The NBA team dropped a double shot of episodes, including Game, Gone Fishing Part 1, and NBA Finals Preview Pod Blast. This Week in Sports also found the Cowboy and D'Amato running down the NBA Finals and breaking down the series between the Warriors and the Raptors. Be sure to keep an eye on our social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament is starting soon. Andy, any idea when is that? When is that starting?
We're getting close. I mean, there's a lot of songs that were put in the pool. So
Could be different?
Well,
different songs?
No.
We're starting. I was going to say, you should have more Durant.
Obviously Centerfold's going to be in it, like that was missed last time. But no, it's going to, it's 512 songs and head-to-head matchups, and it's going to be a long tournament, and it's going to be the same format as the Candy Tournament, so where we're going to have 6 to 8 matchups a day for a while, and then once we start getting down, then, we'll see what happens. Yeah, and it's going to be, we're separating it to 8 brackets, and the seedings are going to be fairly random, so who knows what's going to happen with the tournament. So just everybody,
yeah, that's crazy.
If you like the Candy Tournament page, we've changed it to the 80s Song Tournament, and if you don't like it, go and like it on Facebook.
I'm looking forward to that, because I do love me some 80s music.
Oh, yeah.
I do think there should be more Duran Duran in this list, but who knows? Over on the PTB and wrestling feed, we got on the Place to Be podcast, Justin Scott and guest Jambalaya, how do you pronounce that? Jambalaya Jake Williams dive into the
Well, if you're what's his case, Al Pacino in that football movie, the Oliver Stone one, Any Given Sunday, did you like the jambalaya? Did you have the jambalaya?
I'll do that. Jambalaya. There you go. Jambalaya Jake dive into the May 1989 Meadowlands House Show in episode 521. Then they are back with a double dose of Saturday Night's Main Event in May and July of 1989 with guest Peter Winston. In the 6th episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zaney welcomes Daniel Maccabee to talk music and his independent wrestling career. Mr. Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and fellow Duran Duranite Steve Willey recapped Double or Nothing and classic TNA on this show, the main event. on PlaceToBeNation.com, check out Steve Riddle's countdown of the top 25 matches in TakeOver history, you know, with NXT 25 just happening. Very timely, and it's a good read. I checked it out the other day. Also available on the site is the latest installment of the PTBN's excellent WWE Network adventure with an in-depth look at Mid-South Wrestling from May 26, 1984. And don't forget to check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your lists. Have you guys started that yet?
I know. I'm not. Actually, I'm not really participating because I have a horrible memory, and any match that I could actually think of is probably on there. And I would just be throwing darts at a dartboard to rank 100 sure matches. So I'm going to leave that to the experts like Chad.
I'm getting ready to check out on it personally ever since the other day when Trent nominated the entire May Young
Bucks. Yeah, and I'm a little upset that he didn't nominate Tegan Knox. So he's on my bad list right now.
4 foot 10 of pervy.
Yeah, so Friday night, the group watch chat, we watched Foley versus Orton from Backlash 2004.
How'd that hold up?
I think it's great, really great. Okay. It's going to make my list. And then we watched the No Mercy 2002 tag as well as the Hell in a Cell. And then we called an audible and ended up watching the first Hell in a Cell between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. So all four of those matches we watched Friday will make my top 100.
Oh, wow.
It's all said and done. A great night of wrestling watching.
I normally partake, but I had other plans Friday, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I think we're going to be doing that once a week, just sort of. We have a list, but, you know, if something suits us, like the first Hell in a Cell on, you know, we watched The Undertaker, Brock, Hell in a Cell. We wanted to see how the first one compared, so we sort of called an audible and went to that. So it's a lot of fun to kind of jump in and watch it that way.
Cool. All right, we're ready to dive back into Epcot?
Sure thing.
Let's do it.
All right, Chad, which attraction do you miss the most?
I'm pretty sure I did ride Horizons as a kid. I'm guessing that'll probably be, but I don't remember it right offhand. When did it close? When did it finally close? 95, I think, was when it finally went away, or something around there. So I was 9 at that time. So I just don't remember it very much. The one thing I do remember, and I have no idea if it would still be a good ride or not now, but would be Body Wars.
I've heard good things about it.
I think it was just so weird, and I think at the time the simulation rides like that and Back to the Future and Star Tours were still kind of very innovative feeling. So I know when I rode Body Wars and kind of the probably like on my trip in 98 and maybe even 2000 if it hadn't closed, I'm not sure. But I remember riding it a couple of times and feeling pretty nostalgic about it and enjoyed it.
Neil, what about you?
Okay, wait a minute. I was hoping for the microphone to get turned on me for a second. Let's see if we can hear this.
Boy.
You can pick it up. we just cracked open. I switched to Labatt Blue in honor of the Canada Pavilion. But my most missed attraction, let's see. I mean, talking about things that were weird, Body Wars was weird, but Maelstrom was really friggin' weird. And I do miss the weirdness of that, and then that bizarre movie that they would kidnap you to watch at the end of the boat ride.
Or you could just walk past it.
Incredibly weird, but World of Motion is my answer. I always preferred World of Motion to Horizons. I know Horizons is like the hip thing that everybody misses, but I thought World of Motion was just a little bit more fun. I like that random part where you go outside, what's going around, and I don't know. I mean, Test Track is great. I understand why they made the change, but I do really miss World of Motion.
What about you, Mr. Atherton?
I'm gonna go, you know, Horizons, Body Wars. You know what I loved as a kid? Kitchen Cabaret. You know, I that was a lot of fun. It was, you know, I'm a sucker for audiomatronics, man. You know, when you have giant, like, you know, food singing all these songs about nutrition. Come on, who can't get on board with that? So yeah, so that was fun, you know, and that was, it was a bit different then. And the original Journey into Imagination. That was a lot of fun. I'm a Figment Mark, so I actually just found, unpacking in a new house, I found my Figment from 86, and he's going to go on a shelf next to my 2018 Figment, so.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So in my time of going to Epcot, like I said, I went when I was like 4 or 5 years old, so I don't remember rides at all. But in the time I've been going, like, I can only think of two that have closed. One of them being Ellen's Energy Adventure, and that's not going to be something I miss. The other one is Maelstrom, and I personally love Maelstrom. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Did you stay for the movie, or did you skip it?
I skipped the movie. I think we were able to do it, like, the last weekend it was open. So to be able to do that, it was a long wait. We did it a few times. But to be able to do it that last weekend was kind of sad and emotional, and I do miss it quite a bit. I thought it was fun. The Frozen ride's really good, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I just miss it. And...
I mean, the other one, whatever it was, a Grand Fiesta? No, what was the Mexico boat ride before Three Caballeros took over?
El Rio de Tiempo.
That was a fun ride, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's
the same basic thing, only now it has ducks.
Yeah. a duck, a rooster, and a parrot. I mean, it was still fun. Yeah, it was a lot of the same. The birds. Not a bird movie!
No, not again.
Shout out to Miranda.
Oh, man. No birds here, right? That's for Andy's podcast. As far as Epcot, there's a lot of changes coming to their park. So as far as what's coming with Epcot, what are you looking forward to most, Neil?
What am I looking forward to most? I think that the Ratatouille ride will be fun. I mean, I'm sure Guardians of the Galaxy will be great, but I'm actually kind of intrigued to see how things turn out with the sort of renovations of the middle of Future World.
Okay.
I'm not sure, like, if anything there's been really officially announced, but the way I understand it, they're going to pretty much demolish what's there of the old of Innoventions, and they're going to make it more of a park-like area, with the intention being that the various festivals, I know we're going to talk about the Flower and Garden a little bit, yeah, but the Food and Wine, all those festivals are going to sort of start up further now. You don't have to walk all the way back.
More to drink.
To start up the festival. More to drink, more to eat. But, you know, from their standpoint, those really do seem like the things that are most popular at Epcot right now are those festivals. And you bring people into them, and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to go to the festival. Yeah, you got to walk all the way the heck back there. Now it's going to be like you walk into the park, and all right, the party's starting. And the festival's right there. So I see where they're coming from. Seems kind of cool. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll see what happens.
Didn't you want to say something about the land?
I do. You asked what I'm looking forward to, not what I'm ready. Well,
that's not a category.
If this is the time for it, let's throw it out there. There's a rumor that after they're done with that thing that I just talked about, the next step is going to be closing and demolishing both the land and the Living Seas. Not too excited about that. I think you're really killing off part of the heart and soul of Epcot by doing that, and the things people remember and love the most about the park. Now, before anyone gets too worried, Soarin would stay in this rumor, since that's in a separate building anyway. They would just build a new line and a new entrance to Soarin. But still, losing the land houses, losing the aquarium, part of the Living Seas, I don't like that. I mean, nothing's been officially announced. It's just a rumor. But I really hope that's not a direction they go in.
Yeah, I actually read that myself the other day, and I was kind of shocked that that's even in consideration. Because that would mean, like, the Garden Grill going away, know, yeah. Living with the Land going away, Nemo going away. That's kind of vague.
Yeah, it's not like they're gonna turn it into an extension of the parking lot. They're gonna build new stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll build new restaurants and new rides, and I'm sure that they'll be great. But I really think you're losing something.
I agree. What I'm obviously looking forward to most, and it shouldn't come as a shock to anyone, is the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. I mean, seeing that shell like put up and just looking at what's to come, I'm salivating about what this coaster is going to be, how fast it's going to be, how big it really is. If it's going to be the largest indoor coaster in the world, which is what I've heard, that's something to really look forward to. And Guardians is awesome. It's one of the best franchises in the MCU, so I think that's going to be a lot of fun once that's around. What about you, Chad? What do you look forward to? Chad, you there?
I think we might have lost Chad. Yeah, he's not on the call, but so.
Oh, he's gone. All right, what about you, Andy?
I'm going to say, obviously, the Guardians ride, because I'm really looking forward to that. Good thing that Disney and James Gunn made up. Because now they get to shoot all the footage, when they do Guardians 3. And then also Ratatouille, obviously. And then are they still talking about redoing the Imagination Pavilion with, like, Inside Out or something?
That's been a rumor for, like, a billion years. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, so if that happens, cool. If not, whatever. that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
What kind of ride is the Ratatouille ride supposed to be? Because I'm going to be honest, I've never even seen Ratatouille, so I don't know anything about it.
It's like Rat and Patouille. No, it's, I think it's like any kind of, like, indoor ride, like your Winnie the Pooh, your,
your Little Mermaid.
Yeah, well, you go through it and you're shrunken down to, like, pretty tiny. And then you go through and go through food in a kitchen or something like that. I think they have it in Paris, in Disneyland Paris over there?
Yeah, this is going to basically be a clone of one that's at Disneyland, Euro Disneyland, whatever it's called, Disneyland Paris. I think the thing that makes it different, the ride vehicles, I believe, are sort of more free-moving. It's not like that Omnimover type system. The vehicles themselves kind of move independently along the route of the track. I don't know if there's any other rides like that in Florida. I don't think there is. But maybe it's like, is Roger Rabbit out in California, I think, might be sort of a similar ride system. It's sort of like that. But it should be good enough. I mean, it's not going to be a headliner. It's just kind of there to bring some people back into the World Showcase and to eat up crowds. But hey, since I'm talking, I'll give you a breaking news update here on the podcast that I almost just burned my house down. If you heard a little bit of ruckus.
Yes.
I had some sausage out on my grill, and I told myself that right before Jason called me to start the podcast, I have to take it off the grill. And I didn't notice it was on there until just now when I smelled burning through the walls. Man. So tomorrow's lunch is literally up in flames. But we're all still standing here. All's good at the trail.
Right.
I didn't have to use my Labatt Blue to put out the flames. So.
Oh, boy. that would have been tragic.
Yeah.
All right, so as opposed to the last time, I had someone else actually go to this festival as well. So, Neil, is there anything you wanted to point out specifically about the Flower and Garden Festival in your last visit?
I would think, honestly, it's probably the lesser of the three major festivals at this point.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, the flowers are, how does this translate to a podcast, really? The flowers are pretty to look at. Yeah. They're neat. Topiary. Yeah, there's a Kermit topiary out in France. That's pretty cool. It looks like he's riding a bike. But, I mean, the flower, it's neat. It's good to see. It's a little bonus, but I don't see where it's really something to go out of your way to go to Epcot to see, because with, like, food and wine, there's just so many of the booths, and with the new one, the Festival of the Arts, it seems like there's a lot of different experiences. More like Flower and Garden has like a butterfly garden. And I mean, that was cool for 10 minutes, but I'm not going to exactly plan a trip just to see that.
And also, for the record, I live in Coconut Creek, Florida, which is the butterfly capital of the world. So
yeah, see, so what do you need to drive to for that for?
And you can just go outside. I think the Flower Garden, I mean, I don't think it has any less booth, like food and drink booths than, maybe less than Flower, Food and Wine, but not any less than the Festival of the Arts. And even Festival of the Holidays, actually. I consider them all equal. The Festival of the Arts doesn't really bring in, like, national music acts like the Flower and Garden does. None of them compared to Food and Wine, though. Food and Wine is the best festival that they have.
Yeah, I mean, Food and Wine is definitely the gold standard for the festivals.
Oh, absolutely. Was there anything you ate or drank that you wanted to give a special shout-out to?
I did eat in China while we were making our way around the World Showcase. There was no line, and I said, I'm going to try something different. And it was some kind of beef, broccoli type of dish. A little bit sort of like what you get at a local Chinese restaurant, but a little
you said
bit
China.
I didn't regret it. Yeah, in China, it's like.
Let me see. I have the guide right in front of me.
Yeah, check it out.
Szechuan spicy red braised beef shank.
That sounds like it.
Okay. Yeah, that has to be it.
Yeah, Szechuan beef shank. I mean, it was good. Sort of like the beef shank I could equate to my Flower and Garden experience, which was it was fun. It was good. But I'm not saying you got to get to Epcot to eat that beef shank, you know?
Fair enough. And no drinks? Nothing special
you tried? No special drinks. I stick to my beers.
I'm disappointed, sir.
Yeah, I stick to my beers. I mean, I had plenty, but none that really necessarily stuck out. The one I had in Norway is the Aus Pilsner, which sort of cracks me up because they need... Well, they need to specify on the sign that it's not pronounced ass, so the people aren't yelling ass in the middle of the theme park.
I'm sure people still did anyway.
Yeah.
Was this at, like, their full-time booth, or was this...
Yeah, that's at the full-time booth.
Okay, so it's something they have year-round.
Yeah.
You didn't try any of the special, like, beers they bring in for the...
No, I actually did not make it over to that stand. Although my wife, who is pregnant, so she wasn't drinking beer... But she did stop by one of the stands. They had some kind of, I think it was like a hibiscus lemonade.
Okay.
Possibly, if you're looking at the menus, I think if there's a honey stand.
Honey Bistro.
That sounds like it could be it. I don't know. It had an actual flower in it. They had like an edible flower floating on top of it.
Oh, frozen desert violet lemonade.
That's
like
pineapple
promenade.
That is it. There you go.
So I when I do the festivals, I make sure to try, you know, stuff at all the booths. I don't get stuff that you can always get. Just to, you know, I want to, you know, try new things. Broaden my horizons. There's a cider flight that was awesome. That had I don't like rosé, but the best cider in the flight was a strawberry rosé hard cider. And you guys from the last show know how much I love salmon. Of course, there's another smoked salmon stack that I absolutely loved. Let's see. There was this dish in Mexico I tried. It was an open-faced taco with chorizo sausage that was actually rather excellent.
You know what? There's a chance I ate that.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a chance I ate that. It was the end of the night, so don't quote me on it, but I think I might have had that.
It was pretty good. Of course, I got the pineapple soft serve with the coconut rum. I know, and that was probably something Andy could have gotten in a second, because I know how much it was coconut.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah, hard pass.
Hard, no, yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'll get myself a Dole Whip, and I'll throw some rum in there. How's that?
The China, of course, I had the, I love the Kung Fu Punch. I always get that every time I go. There's another drink called Pirates of the China Sea, which is, actually, I didn't care for too much. For the first time, I had a margarita. I usually go to the frozen stand outside, but I actually got one in the inside margarita bar. I've never been in there. I didn't even know that it was there, to be honest.
I didn't know there was either. I wonder if that's new. Where's their inside margarita bar?
It's a tequila bar, but it's mostly margarita.
Oh, okay. You had Hava de Tequila, which is an excellent place that we should have brought up at some point on the Epcot podcast. I did a tequila tasting there one time. One of the first times I was ever at Epcot, as a drinking age adult on my own, exploring the park, and it was very near the end of the night. I was very drunk, and I stumbled into this tequila bar and just handed the bartender my credit card and said, "Get me the best one."
Wow!
So,
oh, jeez.
I don't know what I spent, but it was some kind of there was multiple steps. There was a shot of tequila. There was a salt on my fingers. There was some kind of tomato-based chaser. It was exceptional. La Cava de Tequila is somewhere you've got to go if you're into the drinking around the world thing. I'm amazed you just discovered it.
Yeah, I had no idea it was there. We always go to the frozen one outside. That's crazy. Well, I didn't start. I wanted to start at 11, but I'm meeting a friend there, and I didn't want to start drinking around the world until my friend actually got there. So we got in there pretty late. So I started my drinking really late. At the end of the night, I had to rush to 3 booths with 10 minutes to go. So I had 4 drinks lined up in my table in front of me as Illuminations is going on. So I wasn't even able to really watch Illuminations for the last time.
That's the whole reason I went to Epcot last month.
Yes, I do recall.
To watch Illuminations for the last time. That was the entire purpose of our trip.
That's funny. And I didn't even get to do it. One cool thing that did happen, we were in line in Italy, and we were going to get the frozen Italian margaritas. And by the time we got to the front, that's what we ordered. They're like, "Oh, they're not frozen yet." We're like, "Oh, okay." So they went to the actual Italy, the full time stand.
The country.
And they flew over and they pulled the product. No, they went to the booth that's always there. They walked over there and they had them ready. So I guess they thought we already paid. So they just walk out and handed us the frozen Italian margaritas. "Here you go." We're like, "Okay, thanks." So got free frozen Italian margaritas. My favorite drink was actually in Japan. Just trying to find the name of it. It was called the Ichigo Sun, which was a strawberry lemonade cocktail with sake, strawberry puree, and lemonade. That drink was that's dangerously good. I could have had that dozen of them easy, just down to real quick. So needless to say, I was quite hammered. I didn't get ditched this time, though, so that's a plus.
Have you guys ever had Tipsy Ducks in Love?
Yes.
Is it any good? I thought about it. I was just based on the name, I wanted to try it, but I was like, eh.
It's okay. I prefer the Kung Fu Punch, personally.
Okay. Maybe next time.
Neil, when's the next time you're going?
It's going to be a while. Say that now. We'll see what happens. I always say that. But my goal at this point is to kind of plan a really, really big sort of family vacation down there. And I have mentioned a few times, we do have a baby on the way in July.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think our traveling is going to be curtailed for a little while. So
yeah.
I'd like to wait till the baby's a little bit older before I head down to Disney. So I'm eyeing up fall 2021.
Okay.
For my next trip. So it's going to be a little while. I mean, that may change. I always say that, and then we end up booking a random little short trip just to see something or another. But 2021 is my plan for the next big real vacation.
So
it's going to
be
the 50th anniversary.
You're going to wait that long to see Star Wars Land, huh?
I am. I figure if I wait until 2021, maybe the lines will be down 5.5 hours to 3 hours or so to get on the ride. So.
Quick little sidebar. I was up there the weekend of the 18th. I actually just went to Orlando to go to MegaCon, and I decided to go to Epcot for a day. And, you go to these conventions, and there's always people, dressed in these costumes, the cosplayers. The best costume that I saw there was a guy dressed in, Disney Star Wars, uniform, they would wear. And they were holding a sign, "Galaxy's Edge, line starts here."
That is excellent.
Yeah,
I'm actually pretty pissed off I didn't take a picture with him because it was fantastic. But
yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot actually next August. We're actually doing a Universal trip, but we have a day
like we're doing 8 days, so we have like 5 days of park stuff. So we're gonna do,
okay,
you know, 3 days at the Universal parks. We're not doing Volcano Bay. We're gonna do,
need to do 3 days Universal?
Well, you know, you gotta remember my party that I go with can only do so much. So
yeah.
So I can't overdo it with them. So I gotta do. We're gonna do Universal Studios 1 day. We're gonna do
Islands
another day, and then we have a third day just for Harry Potter. We're gonna skip Harry Potter the other days, and if we get through Harry Potter, you know, sooner than later, you know, we'll just go back to some stuff, and then, you know, we had, you know, some options, and we decided to get to Volcano Bay because it's a fucking water park. So we're gonna do SeaWorld 1 day because, you know, they got some pretty kick ass coasters there, and we're gonna do Galaxy's Edge another day. So
nice.
I just gotta wait to see the touring plans and see what's the best day to visit Galaxy's Edge based on their mathematics.
Well, of course, like you guys know, I'm a big Halloween Horror Nights fan, so I am intending on going up in September for Halloween Horror Nights. But during the day, I fully intend to attempt to go to Galaxy's Edge in September. I don't know if this is brave or stupid or both. Probably both, but I'm going to try it and see what happens.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to it. And of course, I'm looking forward to Horror Nights. All right. So the next episode, I'm looking for probably September sometime to come out, and it's going to be about Universal Studios.
Ooh.
So, Neil, are you a Universal guy at all?
I've only been one time, so I may end up having to sit that one out, or maybe I'll just be on the podcast and drink beers and crack jokes while you guys talk.
Hey, and if you've been once, you have some memory of it.
Yeah.
Something. Have you been that? Both or just Universal?
Just Universal.
So you never did Islands?
Nope.
Well, this one's going to be, how long ago?
2003.
Oh, wow. So
yeah,
that park's changed a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, my last.
Was Mummy there then?
No. I believe Mummy was like the next big thing coming.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there. I was last there in 2000.
Rip Ride Rocket was maybe coming soon.
Yeah, I've never been on that. It was 2006 was my last time at Universal, so.
So I'll be the quote unquote expert.
Yeah, when I was
I go to Universal, you know, like I said, I go to Horror Nights every year, so I'm at Universal at least 4 or 5 times a year.
Wow.
So that's we're gonna be talking Universal, gonna do my Halloween Horror Nights review, and I also have a special interview for you Halloween Horror Nights fans out there that we'll discuss at that time. So I want to thank everyone for listening to our review of Epcot and the Flower and Garden Festival. I think it's done now, though, isn't it?
Yeah. If it's not done right now, it'll be done very soon. It doesn't go much past June.
So if you didn't go, if what we said would have driven you to go, it may be too late. Oh, well, sorry. We'll try to get it in earlier next time. So, Andy, you got anything coming up that you want to mention?
Well, I got a Laughing Theater that should be coming out within the next week or so with Miss Miranda Bertholdt of Geek and Sassy. We're not going to say what movie we're watching, but it ties into a big summer release. Maybe an earlier entry into a franchise, so to speak. And then I have another Laughing Theater probably for later in the month with Mr. Greg Phillips of Hard Drawing Fanboys. And the next episode of Great Debate should be out, and we're taping on the 19th. Right now I have Scott Criscolo and the other hard-traveling fanboy, Nick Duke, and our third guest is still in the works, but that's what I got going. And also Pop Goes the Movies, where we throw up movie reviews as they come out. There will be a Rocket Man review going up. I believe that's going to be Scott Criscolo and J.R. Arsenio D'Amato. And then myself and Miss Miranda Bertholdt will be also reviewing Godzilla, King of Monsters. So look for those coming up in the next week or so.
Is there no John Wick?
No, we didn't get around to that one. So
did you see it?
No, I've never seen the second one. So I couldn't see the third. So I'm, you know, I decided to go see Endgame again.
I'll be seeing Endgame again myself. Big
The best part about seeing Endgame again is you could actually go pee and not worry about missing stuff.
Yeah, right. You know what? This will be my third time. The next time.
Oh wow!
The second time I saw it, I still didn't go pee because I was still like focused, like laser focused. Because it's so good.
It is.
Neil, do you have anything else coming up?
I mean, you guys could always check me out over at touringplans.com, but here at our home, Place to Be Nation, I am going to do a little overview of Galaxy's Edge. I know there's a lot of it out there, but I want to give it the PTBN spin now that the first weekend is open out there in California. And people will be planning their Disney World trip soon to check it out there at the end of the summer. And for all of our wrestling fans out there, I'm going to be defending my championship in the draft series. We did an NXT one. I think that's coming down the pike pretty soon. In fact, ooh, while I was doing this podcast, I got a text from Justin asking where my write-up is. So I got to get cracking on that. And I'm sure that's going to be getting posted on the site pretty soon, too. And as you mentioned at the beginning, I think we got another mix of six coming soon. I got to do some drinking and tell people what they should be drinking for the summertime. So look for that in the coming weeks as well.
Nice. As far as myself, don't really have a whole lot going on. I will be doing a review on a certain album that came out in 1994 in a few months' time, coming up on placetobenation.com. But besides that, that's all I really got. So I want to thank everyone for checking out the second episode of the PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, and look forward to hearing from you next time.
And do you think maybe somebody should check on Chad? Is he alive?
I don't know. I don't know. I think he decided to go drinking around the world based on all of our.
And an asteroid didn't destroy Georgia, did it?
Oh, I'm no.
Check up on that.
I don't know. That means we lost Mr. Duke and as well, probably.
Georgia. Why Georgia?